I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
The people that I met at these places, like, you know, the higher end investment banks and stuff, if you're seen as a superstar, they'll just go, okay, move the decks. Like, this guy's going up. He's getting big bonuses and everything.
Yep.
You could, like, retire at, like, 35.
Yeah, but you've still got to be actually good at what you do. It doesn't matter how much time you're there and you work. You got to actually be good at it. So if it was you, Monkey Boy, you'd probably do it. If it was Mike...
I thought you were going to say he'd suck.
he'd probably still be in the same spot, even though he's working with two people.
That's right. It's true. Two times zero.
Yes. Exactly. Still zero.
Sad but true.
There's a rat called Rattus. He's a leader of the bunch. A cat called Modigliana. She's fluffy, but she's tough. Darren, he's a dopey dog. Mix, he's a mother, not a mixed up bunny. Feral, that's a feral's for ya. Feral, don't mess with the feral's. The feral's, they're gonna get you, that's a feral's.
Hello and welcome to the Feral's Podcast. I'm your host, Monkey Boy, and I'm joined by...
Swinny.
And Mike.
This is episode 10, Double Trouble. Now, I've been in double trouble in this episode. I started watching... the wrong episode, which is Exam Fever. And you know how I actually realized this? I started watching Exam Fever and they mentioned a Simpsons joke in it. So I was like wondering, I wonder where, you know, when what episode was being aired of The Simpsons at the time. So I dug it up and then I started looking at the production order of these episodes and I realized they were out of order. So from episode 9, it was 6th of June. Then Exam Fever was actually broadcast a week after that on 13 June and then Double Trouble on 20 June. But the production order is Double Trouble was made first and was intended to be aired first. I'm not sure why it was changed. Yeah. It's like a little quirk, a little Easter egg.
Continuity expert saying about this?
I was going to say the good old continuity expert was either the reason for the change... or would have been pissed off because of the change. Either way, that wouldn't have been happy.
On the spot.
So you think something in this episode caused the continuity expert to say, no. The Exam Fever episode must come first.
Well, considering I've actually watched both episodes, probably not.
I like how we've all been affected by this. and the funny thing is, Mike said this in the last episode. You know, you warned us that there's some issue with the 10th episode, let's just call it. So yeah, I should have listened to that in better detail. The show opens with Rattus. What I thought he was doing at first was playing the pokies. Now, like, Mike, do you reckon it's trying to allude to the fact that this pinball machine that he's playing is like a pokey machine?
I think so. I mean, I don't want to go on tangents about pokey addiction, but yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I think that's what it's trying to set it up to be. So where we have Rattus playing the pinball machine, and did you appreciate the puppetry of Rattus in this scene where he's actually playing the pinball machine? I thought it looked awesome.
I appreciate the puppetry in certain parts of this episode, but I actually didn't really catch it in this part because I was scrambling to try to to catch up and make sure I had the right episode. So I didn't actually...
Swinny had technical issues.
Yeah, I had a lot of technical issues. And I kind of missed a bit of the setup in this scene. At what point, because isn't it the fact that Raddus owed, you know, the whole storyline of this episode is he owes someone money. Is it because they were he was betting that he could get a better score on a pinball machine? Is that what it was? Because I kind of I glossed over that part.
That's
of it a bit.
That's what I understood as well. Yeah.
Okay, but well, it, it's well, a bit implied though, said, isn't it?
Well, no, no, he actually did say it, but it was kind of buried. He just said it really quickly, and then it was never brought up again. And it's the sole reason of why he was trying to play it so often. So he said that if he gets a certain score, he can play forever. Like, he gets unlimited games.
How does that... I don't think that's a thing.
What? No, it's not a thing. It's total BS. It's
talking
total
rats
BS.
Are a thing, though.
You know
it's,
what?
It's total BS. But I think the idea was just to present it as a problem that he had with his addiction.
Oh, of course.
You know what? Of course. You know what that reminded me of?
What?
Monkey Boy, do you remember the old fishing line, drill a hole in the coin trick and play some fishing in the arcade machines? Now that's unlimited games.
Well, look, so, yeah, to be fair, this was only 10 cents a game.
Was it 10 cents a game?
Well, I think it was 10 cents because I'll skip right ahead to the end where he actually puts in 10 cents that he finds.
Oh, really?
So I'm assuming it's 10 cents, yeah.
No, 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 there's a dollar. It was a dollar coin.
Was it? How can you tell? In our completely 100% legal source of viewing this, I couldn't tell it was a dollar.
God,
a coin.
Retail assistants.
You heard about the final scene, right?
Retail assistants must really hate you when you keep getting those confused.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, it was definitely a
I wasn't paying
coin.
Attention, to be honest, at the end bit where he finds the money, but it might have been a dollar coin, you're right.
So the premise there is that Raddus has been playing this pinball machine so much that he's racked up an $80 bill with a character that at this stage is called Big Bruce. Like, I love how crazy it is. He comes there with a huge boot. It's totally, like, out there and just awesome.
It was actually really cool. I really like that scene. And you know what? Maybe I'm making connections in my head now, as I tend to. But Big Bruce reminds me of this whole idea of him being a loan shark. Because he is a loan shark, right?
Yeah.
And the whole idea of him being a loan shark reminds me of the shark in Finding Nemo, who's also named Bruce and has an Australian accent. Because if I'm not mistaken, Finding Nemo is based in Australia. For some reason, I just made that connection with Bruce and Finding Nemo. I thought that was pretty... Probably nothing to do with it, but...
Even that the character's got this heavy-set Australian accent. You know,
yeah, the big...
The most... It's the most quintessential Australian name, really. Isn't
hey, Brucey.
Yeah, Bruce. And what Raddus has done here is he's actually borrowed money, and that's where the loan shark element comes into. He's borrowed it
but
in name of the other ferals.
Yeah, he bought it.
Which is awesome. And they get this huge ledger. It's so awesome,
it just
this whole setup.
Slams
like, from
the
start, I was like, this
slams
is awesome.
It down on the ground, and they just see that all their names are written in with his handwriting, Raddus's handwriting.
and to put some more context around it, like this guy's size, because it's, you know, we're talking about it, you know, in audio form
it's
right
huge.
Now. There's a scene later where you can sort of see his hand, and Joe looks up to him, and he's at least 15 feet tall, this character. Surely, right?
I think it seems like he's like 30 feet tall. He's huge.
It's like the size of John's mom times 10.
What? Anyway.
you're an asshole.
But that's
if she
also,
ever chooses
size of John's mom times 10.
Take a comparison.
Like, that's 3 feet. That's 3 feet tall. That's like more than that's less than a midget.
Yeah, she's a very short woman. She's a midget.
If she
no, she's less than a midget.
If she ever listens to this episode, I'm gonna have to explain that.
I'm sorry, John's
mom.
You're a lovely lady. You know.
I don't even really get it. But they owe money to Big Bruce and. All the ferals, like, this is the one weird scene in the shed. They all go super violent to him. Even Mixie is like, if you don't get this money, I'm going to open you up and rah, rah, rah. And then she's like, oh, like, oh, I'm almost.
I'll rearrange your ugly red faces.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
I
like, geez, this is like crazy.
I like how they just hit, like, I can't remember what it was, but they hit something and it moves out of the way and, Raddus was hiding in the box. It was actually just really well timed. Yeah, I thought it was really good.
Yeah, that's right.
But,
yeah,
Motti but walks before in, bangs something this, and, before and all him. Of this, we have another reveal as part of the story, which happens before all of this.
What?
The photocopier that never breaks down.
Ah, no, that's what we're going to go on to.
Well, yeah, it's
look
between.
At, look at the running sheet. This
scenes.
Is the. This
yeah,
is
but it
the
goes
second
between
thing.
Scenes. It goes between.
No, but it's
scenes.
Not. I'm not going scene by scene. I'm going from like setup to setup.
Okay. so my apologies.
Yes, Captain Jump Ahead.
That's good. That's,
you were correct.
I am Captain Jump Ahead.
The thing is,
also Captain Flaky in some circles.
Mike is actually correct, but you're correct in what you said. You want to follow the running sheet. Let's follow the running sheet.
I will follow the running sheet.
So you're right. So we get into another Lenny's invention, which I love. And I was super, super excited. Like, I was already, as soon as he was inventing something, I'm just like, oh, I hope he names this invention. I hope it's called something this time. So Joe comes in, he insults science again. Just like, I don't really ever get that. And then Lenny goes on to say that he's trying to invent a photocopier that will never break down. I don't know, Swinny, what did you think of
that's
the
impossible.
Premise?
Now, I actually had this conversation at work today, this very conversation about I'm lumping in a printer with a photocopier, just, you know, the whole kit and caboodle of
office equipment.
I've been really lucky in the places I've worked, you know, office places, that I've never had a bad printer, never a bad photocopier, until the current place I work at. And I'm just I feel the pain now. Now I know where this came from, because it will print one sheet, jam.
Is that one sheet workplace is stuck in like the mid-90s?
No, it's just a crap printer. It's just not serviced.
Man. I haven't had any issues for yonks. It's obviously a servicing thing, because I have never experienced an issue with the...
Obviously, the classic scene from Office Space where they take the printer out with the baseball bat. So it's good to know that this concept has dated back as far as 93, 94. So
I think that was almost like at its peak when you had printer issues and office equipment issues. And this is like, you know, the era where we didn't even have Windows 95 yet, which I remember that time, and computers were super dodgy. They'd always like crash all the time. And then Windows 95 came out. It was better, but there was also issues. So I think this is a pretty common sort of issue that people thought of. But I thought it was quite funny, the idea of him, his grand invention is to build a photocopier that never breaks down.
I like that Joe's response is, that's impossible. Or something.
Yeah, I know. And then, you know, when Joe walks up to the, like, Lenny inventing it, and he actually spills the coffee or tea.
He spores the coffee.
And that's the whole, yeah, and it spores. I'm turning it to you, man. Spoonerism. This is crazy. And that's the premise of why he was in the actual apartment. He spills his cup of tea, let's say, onto Lenny's invention. It is so ridiculously clumsy. Like, it's, you know, it looks intentional, but it is meant to be accidental.
It's like a really bad pickup line.
Yeah. And this turns it into a machine that can duplicate things.
Just
now,
magically.
In my notes, I write, which then turns it into a digital duplication device.
Yes. You said it.
What did you guys, can I ask you guys, before we say what the name of it is, what did you guys write? Did you have a guess of what it might be called?
I did. It was pretty obvious.
So what did you write?
I'll let you go first.
What did you say, Mike?
Well, I called it what it is, the digital duplicator.
Okay, so Swinny, what did you call it?
I was in a rush. I did not even come to that conclusion. I think we've established that I was not in my normal pacing of taking notes in this episode.
So, Joe turns around and then calls it the digital duplicator. Double the fun. I was like so happy. Double the fun. He just keeps on hammering on this line, double the fun. Man, I loved it.
Euphemism. He went from it being a photocopier that never breaks down. Someone spills some tea on it and magically turns into a freaking digital duplicator.
I think it's actually,
fair enough.
I think it's quite witty because it's a copier.
Yeah,
it is.
And
it is.
I actually
now Mike's like, oh yeah.
I only put you those two.
Show.
No, I only put that together now that John mentioned it. Yeah, I didn't even. Think
I put that. I put that together about 30 seconds ago. So.
Oh, there you go.
He doesn't need notes.
So bad.
Audience, he doesn't need notes.
I don't need notes. No notes for me.
No notes, Swinny. But when he starts, like, shooting things, I'm like, oh, this is going to be the best episode ever. I was so pumped. I mean, like, this is quite a common thing. I remember this happening in Family Matters. There was a time where I think Urkel, well, it would have been Urkel, obviously, but I'm pretty sure Urkel created some machine that can clone or duplicate, and I think he made his cousin.
Well,
what they called him, cousin Stefan or whatever.
I've got two good examples as well. Obviously, yeah. Red Dwarf has done this a few times. It was done a bit differently, but the same thing. But my favourite example is the lovely show C-Lab 2021.
Uh-huh. Sting, it, move, sting,
yes,
sting.
If that show taught me anything, it's the fact that doppelgangers are always evil, okay?
Especially if they've got not a always. Or a little moustache.
What about Jean-Claude Van Damme and Double Trouble? No, I
is that a movie?
Double Impact.
Double Impact.
Double Impact.
Double Trouble.
In Double Trouble.
I got Double Trouble in my head now.
Same name as the episode.
Jean-Claude Van Damme was in this episode? What?
What, he didn't see
how
it?
How awesome would that be? Do you know what? That would be so awesome if we just randomly, someone's in it that's like super famous right now. That'd be really cool. Yeah. That'd be so. Anyway,
Russell
moving Crow. On. So,
are you not entertained?
So we have the return of Keith and Kylie, who I don't remember them being around for the last couple of episodes. They're selling badges or something for charity.
Yes, badges. Which
now,
I just leaves.
Radice is on a mission to try to get some money so he can pay off Big Bad Bruce. And so he thinks, okay, I'll get the, you know, I'll help our charity. And he goes around with the charity trying to collect cash, but he's just going to steal the money. This is like, I don't know why, I really found this funny. I found it so funny straight away that he just goes around and he's like...
stealing money from charity... Oh, stealing money from people under the guise of charity funny?
I found it really funny the way that he just so... Like, the story just quickly turned to him. You know, he's got all the charity outfit on and he's just pocketing the cash.
It's
like, it's like nothing.
It's almost like he works for the RSPCA.
Oh, God.
Did you guys ever do that, by the way? Did you ever do charity runs and stuff when you were young?
No.
Selling shit? I used to.
And what did you sell?
We used to sell lollipops for a bunch of different charities, knocking door to door and...
What charities?
It was a tough gig. Oh, this was when I was like a kid, like really young. And yeah, we used to like...
What, in Romania?
Go around. No, this was other places. And I used to go...
Well, what's other places? Name the places.
I'm not going to reveal every place I've lived on.
You've lived on?
On Uranus, Mars.
There may have been
He's
other
getting
planets,
the
yes.
Romanian back. I lived on you. I lived on this place. Back when I lived on New Zealand. Back when I lived.
Correct.
Okay, so, move on.
Moving on.
Anyway.
Yeah, we used to do it. Little charity runs, and it's a tough gig. Feel for those kids.
Okay, fair enough. So you should steal it. I get it. And this is the part where Joe, he plans to steal the digital duplicator. This is the first time. So he you know, Radice comes along and finds out about the digital duplicator and they both kind of like, is this the first time they've teamed up? I don't think it is, right?
No, I remember.
Can you remember another time?
Somewhere else.
No,
feels
they,
like they've teamed up.
They teamed up with the episode with the baby.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Joe's Jovial Juveniles.
I think this is good when they team up, right? And I know I've already spoken to you guys about
it's
this.
Brilliant. It's
but
double
it's,
the trouble.
I don't know, something funny about it, because you don't really know who's the smarter one. Like, Radice, to me, has got to be the smarter one, right, out of these two.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so Radice takes the $5, and he's like, okay, you know, we could actually duplicate this. And, you know, it sort of is the setup for the whole episode that... You know, they can sort of duplicate the money to make a lot of cash. Mm. Now, Joe goes about to try and convince Lenny to, you know, use the digital duplicator for this. I love this line from Lenny, where Lenny's like saying, no, I'm not going to do it. And he gives him three reasons why. And the first reason, he said, it's Leonard, not Lenny. I don't know why. I find this really funny as well. That he's just kind of like, we've just started calling him Lenny all the time. Everyone's calling him Lenny. And now he's getting really pissed off that he's called Lenny. It's more and more friend-zoned nature. And Swinny, do you remember the bit where there's a cartoon of Darren and it actually kind of like morphs into the next scene?
Yeah, that was good. And because that's exactly what you think. Who would be the worst person to get their hands on this machine?
Exactly. And that's what it goes to, where Darren is actually holding onto the digital duplicator that they've stolen. And I don't know why he's shooting it. I don't know why, even after he shoots it, he continues to shoot it. But then he duplicates Raddus. And at this stage, I'm like, this is like my favorite episode already. Because I just love the idea of Raddus being duplicated. It's just awesome. And they established pretty early that Raddus can, that both Radduses can feel each other's pain.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I thought that was actually pretty neat. And they didn't go overboard in using that device, but it was just used in little sections and it was quite funny. So.
It was done. Yeah, it was good. It was done a few times.
Yeah, I think they really tried to set it up properly. But a lot of this stuff, like when I think about it, like a kid's really kind of like, you know, understanding what's going on and following the logic of it and the setups. Yeah. And, okay.
I reckon there would be. I mean, they don't think of the philosophical implications of having two beings with shared consciousness or duplication of consciousness and then later on, you know, destroying one of them, which is effectively killing someone. So none of those implications comes across as a kid, and I wouldn't have noticed this as a kid. But now as an adult, I'm like, whoa, shit.
No, it's like the
island.
The choice is easy. Just follow C-Lab 2021. Lock them all in a room and they'll play volleyball with each other. No, dodgeball. Dodgeball, that's right. They'll eliminate each other with dodgeball.
My favorite part in the whole episode was around this part, around now, when Raddus has the light bulb moment above his head, and then there's a second light bulb.
Yeah, I like that because when Joe was thinking about it, so this is going back to the scene where Joe finds out about the digital duplicator, he has $1 sign in his mind, like, and I actually took a screenshot of it. I'm like, what a missed opportunity not to have $2 signs. Yeah. That's like the obvious joke. Now, I think they knew that and they used it later.
Yes.
Like when Raddus has the idea to duplicate things. The first thing I thought when there were two Raddus's, I thought they would both try to sell each other. I believe that's a
Rat-Eye.
Rat-Eye, okay. From now on, I'll say Rat-Eye. When the Rat-Eye, I thought each would try to sell the other down the river with Big Bruce. Like try to go, oh yeah, that's like, you know, set it up like, oh, meet me here and... Yeah. Then they get that Raddus. But maybe they realize that they can feel each other's pain, so that's not going to happen. So.
Well, yeah. You're saying giving him an offering of Raddus, and he'll walk away. Sacrificial, and he'll be happy. And the fact that there's no money, it's almost like human slavery.
Well, it is. Exactly. I mean, what would you guys do if you had a duplicate of yourselves?
Oh, man, I don't know.
I wouldn't leave the room.
It wouldn't... What?
I'm going to make all your wildest dreams come true.
The listeners.
I mean, heard that my one. Wildest dreams. Let's move on.
Hey, if anyone.
No, it's actually interesting.
If anyone's ever seen the Watchmen movie.
Yes.
And I guess the comic. Dr. Manhattan takes advantage of his ability to copy himself.
I have seen the comic too. Never read it.
Yeah, I know. Oh, I love that movie and I love the graphic novel as well. It's really good.
I love the Blue Dong.
Yes.
Exactly. In all its glory. I have said to people, if I had a twin, I would, you know, I think, because they'd be like me, a scammer. Mm. So my theory is that if you, as one person, entered uni, you would absolutely dominate it. Because you would only have to take half the load, right?
Well, yes. And then you'd only have to go to, like, half the exams.
Yeah. Absolutely. I don't think you'd be able to dominate it.
I don't think you'd dominate it because I think you'd get lazy.
Nah, I think it would.
But unless your name's the same, how would you both get a certificate out of it?
No. Okay, I'll explain my elaborate plan. This is
all right, what is your elaborate plan?
So skip over the next, I don't know, 5 minutes. So my elaborate plan is...
Sorry, I like that you've got a 5 minute elaborate plan already hatched in your mind.
I've thought about this a lot because I read an article that was similar to what I was thinking and I'm like, Jesus, there's like a better idea.
Whoa.
So I would probably dial it all the way back to like year 10.
Okay.
So just before high school in Australia, you know, once you get to year 12, that's like when you get into your unis.
Yeah.
So my idea would be that one of you only takes the VC or enter or whatever it is, you know, the exams to get into uni, right?
Yes.
Only one name does. So just say it's Luke and what, I was going to say John as my kind of, cause that's my middle name, but,
No, let's go with Tyler. His name's Tyler.
Tyler and who's the other person?
Luke and your alter ego is Tyler Durden.
Okay, Luke and Tyler. So just say the exam's under Luke's name, yep. Right? But it'll be Luke and Tyler taking the exams. So yes. It's half the load. So you can go way harder at it. You can get better grades, right?
Yep.
Then you go to a better uni. You take half the load. So it's all under Luke's name still. But yes. Tyler is doing half of it.
Yep.
Now, my theory is thus, that when you start work, right?
Oh, he's got a thesis on this, don't worry.
Because of the leveraged nature of pay in capitalist societies, right? If I go into a place, right? Just say I get a job at Goldman Sachs or something, right?
Yes.
I get in there.
I see where you're going with this.
At like 8 a.m. and I work my ass off, like so hard, 12. Right? Until, no, 3 a.m., right?
Okay.
Then I come the next day, or so it seems, right? Fresh as a daisy, there before everyone else, right? Work until 3 a.m. again, right?
Yes.
Now, you work hard, right? But you're only working 2.5 days a week, right? So you work really hard. But
you're not saying to work like a 17-hour day. I wouldn't want to do that, even if I had a day off in between.
Yeah, but you'd be making millions for 2.5 days worth of work.
Trust me. The people that I met at these places, like the higher end investment banks and stuff, if you're seen as a superstar, they'll just go, okay, move the decks. Like, this guy's going up. He's getting big bonuses and everything.
Yep.
You could, like, retire at, like, 35. Yeah,
but you've still got to be actually good at what you do. It doesn't matter how much time you're there and you work. You've got to actually be good at it. So, if it was you, Monkey Boy, you'd probably do it. If it was Mike...
I thought you were going to say his son.
he'd probably still be in the same spot, even though he's working with two people.
That's right. It's true. 2 times 0.
Yes, exactly. Still 0.
So that's my elaborate plan. And I believe that you'd make more money and do less work overall.
Yeah.
If you did that.
I think that's a good plan. Welcome back, listeners.
Okay. The only thing, though, is that... So you're not talking if you had an identical twin. You're talking if you actually had a doppelganger, yeah?
Well, it's an identical twin. Yeah.
No, I'd say identical twin.
Now, that means that you have to, you know, so identical twins don't always stay exactly identical in terms of their body shape and the way that, you know, like they might get scars on their face. You'll
train yourselves. If someone gets a scar, the other person cuts themselves. It's pretty... you got to keep the gig up.
That's dedication there.
No, I agree. Hey, by the way, how awesome would this be as a movie?
It'd be pretty cool.
Like, and then you could have the other your other twin, because it'd be under your name, right? So then you'd have that balance and dynamic there as well.
There's quite a few movies that have already done things like this.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know what I said.
Wait. This is a nice little coincidence, actually. Today I was playing a game called Her Story. Which you guys are probably not going to play, so I'll spoil part of it.
I don't even play games anyway. So
basically, you're like a detective, and you get this little database, and you can search for a keyword. And when you search for a keyword, it brings up the first 5 matches in chronological order of these video recordings of this woman being interviewed, and that woman is basically retelling this crime that's been committed because her husband's gone missing. And as you progress through the story, and spoiler alert to anyone that's actually wanting to play this game, you know, turn your volume down or something.
I think you've already spoiled it by saying it's related to this.
She's actually got a twin. And what you've been watching is basically two different people. But you never find out, and I still don't know because I haven't finished the game yet, what it is actually two different people, or it's actually one person with a split personality. So it's really hard to, like, it's brilliant. It's really well made. Highly recommend it. It's good. So it's funny that you mention it, because it's kind of exactly that. It's like these two people that are twins that lived their entire life pretending to be the same person, tricking everyone, dating the same people. It's kind of bizarre, but really cool. Awesome game.
Yeah, see, I reckon there's a story there. I reckon
absolutely.
There's a good movie there. All right, so let's get back
all right, we'll
to
ride
let's
it.
Get back to it.
After this.
So it goes back to, you know, Joe's still trying to convince Lenny. Raddus comes in and hatches a plan to steal the digital duplicator with his doppelganger. So he comes in and say, here's some money for charity. And then you have this nice little scene where the other Raddus runs in and is trying to steal it. And Robbie's got her guitar on again. She's not playing it. But she's wearing the guitar, let's just say at least. And then, you know, Joe comes in and he's trying to say, oh, you could, you know, get the Nobel Prize for Physics, Order of Australia, Time Magazine.
What is it with Joe?
Oh, you could get 10 years in jail.
Yeah. What is it with Joe and the Nobel Prize? He dreams about it. He did say, like, the Order of Australia and stuff, which is pretty cool, but he's just...
Well, it's the pinnacle of, you know, scientific achievement, really.
Yeah, but... Joe's the Besides last a threesome, person that should I don't be thinking about is. A Nobel Prize. Lenny should be, like, thinking about a Nobel Prize.
Yeah, but Joe's using it to get to Lenny. He's making Lenny imagine all that stuff.
I know.
It's clever.
Yeah. And I mean, now, how do you entice someone? You got to entice them with their needs and wants.
Tell Lenny that he could get him some extra brownie points of Robbie. That might entice him.
Yeah.
That would. But whatever, it was working because he was full-on mesmerized by all these ideas until Robbie goes 10 years in jail.
When the digital duplicator was brought up, the first thing I thought was duplicating Robbie. That was the first thing.
Come on.
Wow, not even I thought that low.
Anyway.
Although it's a great idea, come to think of it.
Is this... Okay, this sounds really bad, but... When Robbie actually said, oh, you know, you go to jail and all that stuff, I was legitimately going, what are you going to jail for? They're just duplicating money. And I'm like, oh, I guess it's illegal.
Hey, you're wrong. Let's keep in mind who used to work in investment banking, okay?
And where I got a job in a bank now.
It's the guy talking, not me.
Well, I think it's clear
What job does he have now?
I think it's...
Yeah, a job at a bank.
It's pretty clear that the person who works in banking goes, there's nothing wrong with doubling money.
Well, actually, that's true. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
true. It actually makes sense that he would say that.
It's a capitalist way of thinking. But yeah, look, there's a million other things that you could do. Just get a diamond and duplicate it, right? That's not illegal.
I have no idea.
Wait,
I'm guessing it's not.
That's an interesting
point. I'm guessing
it's
not.
No, technically it isn't. Why would it be illegal?
Why would it be illegal?
It's funny how currency is, but no, duplicating a diamond isn't.
What about gold bars that they keep in deposits? Would that be illegal?
Yeah, you could duplicate that.
I thought that's technically currency, isn't it? Is that currency?
No. The only reason why it's illegal to duplicate money is because it has to be from an issuer, an approved issuer. And Lenny and Joe and Raddus aren't approved issuers of any currency in the world.
Can you duplicate an approved issuer certificate?
Can you?
No.
Can you duplicate?
It's not a certificate. It's the mint. It's the Royal Australian Mint.
Can you duplicate
a country and then call it your own?
Well, if it's recognised, yeah.
And then make more money.
But that's what America's been doing, right? They've been duplicating money. Right?
If you duplicate the country, you also duplicate the currency that was in that country. So there you go, double the currency.
Now we're well and truly off the track. What would be the number one thing you duplicate, Mike? What's the thing that you would duplicate? Okay, how about you, Swinny? You're the quick man.
My Xbox gamer score.
What? Oh, nice. I like that. You know what I would do? I would duplicate the length of my boat.
You don't have a boat.
That's what I call it. Anyway, moving on. So big, well, big
finally
breeze.
you might get 6 inches then.
6 feet, my boat. So Big Bruce wants to collect his money again, and the Ferals, without Raddus, or the Ratai, I should say, hatch a plan, their own independent plan, to steal the digital duplicator, which I love. I love how so many of the characters are so evil in this show, they don't want to do the wrong thing. Oh, and actually, sorry, I want to just rewind for a second. Is this the first time that someone's actually said something's illegal in this show, or something's wrong?
I did note that this is one of the few episodes where they've actually tried to teach kids a bit of a lesson that it's illegal to do something.
Yeah. That's what I thought. I was like, this is strange. Like, I wrote it down first time I remember that they talk about something as being illegal or you can't do it or it's the wrong thing to do. Like, often they'll just say, I don't want to do it, or like, I didn't even really say you shouldn't do it.
Do you think
just,
that
they don't want to do it?
Purely just, it just happened? Or do you think someone at the ABC went, whoa, 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 like, we've been getting complaints from people that...
Nah, it would have already been made. They would have already... They would have filmed these. I mean, you know, when I was looking through the ledger, you know how at the start of the episode they had the ledger?
Mm-hmm.
All the dates were in February. And the show was being released in June or something like
that. So, I reckon they filmed most of them, or do you think they still...
I think they would have filmed... No, I think they would have already filmed most of them.
Okay.
But, I mean, we'll see. I mean, like, if there is a change in tone of the show, then, you know, maybe that is true.
I hope not.
I guess we'll just have to see.
I like the shenanigans.
Yeah, no, I do as well. So now we get to the scene where Raddus, Joe, all the Ferals... Or sorry, the Ratai... are all Thank caught you. Trying to steal the digital duplicator. And then this is where Big Bruce comes into the show. And then this is where they also name him Big Bad Bruce, which I love. And do you remember the little scene? It's like a tiny little scene where one of the Ratai is on the floor and everyone like squishes him, even the other Ratai.
Yeah, because Keith trips him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that, Keith. It's such an...
Oh, this is where he climbs up the tree, right?
Yeah.
Well, he then has to climb up the tree, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And then he calls him a bear, and then Keith headbutts him.
I told you, koalas are not bears.
But the way that Raddus says it, he's like, I know my limitations, bear!
Yeah, and hey, it's actually one of the best, like, you know, two lines in this show. And this is where the big bad Bruce picks him up, and you have this awesome like puppet hand that's gigantic, and it's like up in the air, and I think Raddus has a line something like "My mother's calling," because he's like being held so high up.
But he also goes,
"Take my friends, take my grandmother." The dialogue in this whole scene is so awesome.
And is this where Joe walks past as well?
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so, Sweeney, what do you remember what happens in this bit? This is funny.
This is one of my favorite Joe moments, and he had so many little bits in this episode. Because he keeps also doing the, you know, his laugh.
He does that all throughout his
hiccup laugh. Joe just walks past Raddus being held up by this giant man and goes, oh, hi, Raddus. Just keeps walking.
I love it. Like, Raddus calling out to Joe. Oh, hi, Raddus. And this guy is going to be like, what is it? 10 units of John's mum's height tall. Like, it's crazy.
Give or take, yeah.
And then, yeah, so Lenny is then frantically trying to fix the duplicator because he's got a plan that he's hatched. I don't think there's, like, anything really that funny. I mean, there's a funny scene where Lenny has got this light bestowed on him. That is, you know, going to, you know, save the world and do all these great things. And he's got this amazing plan, which I thought was pretty cute and funny.
He's like looking up to the heavens and then just Robbie cuts him off and just steals his thunder.
Yeah. It's really good humor in that bit. And his plan is to create a ridiculous amount of Ratai. Like, I don't know how many you guys counted, but it looked like 50, 100, or sorry, it'd have to be duplicates, right? So 64 or 128 or something like that.
Well, that's what I wondered. Now they use
doesn't because they
the
don't
duplicator.
Replicate the whole batch, so.
Well, it no, but doesn't it seems that more. They can actually duplicate more than one thing, which that was the first part of the time of the episode that we noticed that could do that. So,
yeah, it's a tiny little issue with the
yeah, no, it's duplicating people. I shouldn't be worrying about details.
Well, look, the real issue I had.
Sorry, what's your point? What's your point? Wait, what's your point?
No, the point is, they don't have to duplicate groups, so it always doubles because you can have like two, then you can have four, but you can have six because you just duplicate the last one.
Oh yeah, definitely.
But the part that I was chilling is what happens next when they get rid of all the duplicates.
What happens?
Again, as a kid, it's like, ha ha ha, you get the red back. But what happens to the other ones? God, it's like, what? There's a whole bunch of films around this, though, aren't there? I know there's some that just doesn't come to mind, besides The Island, where it's obviously done quite a lot. But there's other movies that discuss the idea of having clones and clones are being used.
Okay, I was going to bring this up before when Monkey Boy, you were saying about movies dealing with people having duplicates that are like running their life so they can do multiple things. And I'm trying to think of a way to not spoil this movie without doing it, but I'm definitely going to spoil it. The Prestige.
Oh, yes. Oh, okay, yes.
Spoiler alert for The Prestige coming up.
So, The Prestige...
Which is an excellent film. So, pause right now, go watch it, come back.
Awesome. Yeah, 2.5 hours
we're,
later.
We're talking to you, Lee, because you're the only person who listens to this podcast.
If you haven't seen The Prestige by now, I'm going to spoil it for you, Lee, okay? So, basically, Christian Bale's magician character is doing all these... death-defying stunts. Oh, no, sorry. Was it Hugh Jackman's that was actually killing the clones?
Yeah, it was Hugh Jackman that was killing clones.
Yes, sorry. It's Hugh Jackman. No, because there's actually a double thing going on here. See what I said? Double.
It's a double twist.
Hugh Jackman is doing death-defying like escape tricks where he's actually killing his clones in the process.
No, he actually kills himself. And he
makes a new clone
every time. He dies every time.
Same
which
thing
was a
considering...
double twist. That was like one of such freaking amazing film that he actually sacrificed himself for that trick.
So that fulfills that discussion point about killing clones and the ethics around
that. That's the film I was trying to think of.
Now,
yes, thank you.
The other one is that Christian Bale's magician character actually has an identical twin.
Yes.
So they're
which is like
sharing
a double twist.
Because
you think it's like a trick, but it's not. It's his twin. It's like so good. Yeah.
So there you go.
Brilliant film.
Look at that. I wrapped up two discussion topics in one go. Boom.
Thank you.
I'm out of here. See ya. Bye.
God, it's a good film. Oh, such a good film.
Mic drop.
He walks off the stage. Everyone claps.
Well, okay. And now I'll try to connect. I don't know why we're always referring to film recently, but I'll connect this to another Christopher Nolan film, The Dark Knight.
I'm Batman.
You know... Remember when there's that invention that can, by Mr. Fox, that can tap into any mobile device and create this huge spy network?
Yeah.
Similar to what the NSA has created.
Pretty much.
Once he uses it, he has to then destroy it straight away because it can't be in the hands of a madman. That's also what Lenny does in this scene. Mm. Once he gets rid of Big Bad Bruce, he then just breaks the machine apart. And then he gets bestowed in the light again. So, I thought that was a nice little connection there.
That's a pretty cool connection.
Hmm.
Also, another...
Now...
Yep.
Yeah, go on.
No, I was just going to give another spoiler warning. Bruce Wayne's actually Batman.
So, you know, then that's basically the end of the episode. The first thing that I thought, though, was Big Bad Bruce, they're just rats, right? Can't he just squish them?
Yeah, but have you ever been attacked by like 100 rats? What? Yeah, I didn't think so. Because neither have I.
I don't
think anyone really
story.
Has. But
is this in Romania? Is this in Romania?
No, we had bears and shit, but never rats. But,
you
but the point
had hundreds
is
of bears.
Someone, I was never attacked by a bear, but I came in very close contact
with
bears.
Do you, Do you mean koalas? Because they really hate being bears.
No, these were real bears. No, but I would imagine if I was, you know, being attacked by 100 rats, I'd freak out.
Fair call. Fair call. So, yeah. So, that basically is the end of the episode. We see Raddus, he's, like, having to redeem himself to some degree. I don't think we mentioned that, you know, once Big Bad Bruce went away, that is the scene where they reversed the duplication effect and it, you know, consolidates Raddus into one entity.
Consolidates Raddus.
Well, I don't know. I don't know how to describe it, you know. Now, like, one other outstanding question I had at the end of the episode was when they said, oh, Big Bad Bruce's machines are rigged. It's Pinball Man. Every pinball machine I've ever seen is rigged. Like, what are they talking about? That's the nature of pinball.
But how is pinball rigged?
Well, when I'm saying rigged, I'm saying there's an element of luck that you can't control.
Yeah, but that's not rigged. That's not rigged.
No, I agree. That's what I'm saying. When they said it's rigged, well, I guess my point is that it's ridiculous to say rigged when it is acting exactly like a pinball machine should, right?
Mm.
Yeah, that's my whole point. That's my whole point.
I don't get your point, but all right. I also...
they're saying it's rigged. It's not rigged. That's how pinball machines work.
He's not going to understand
it. Sometimes...
Anyway, he's not going to understand it.
Whatever. So, was there anything that we missed in this episode?
No.
No, not that I remember.
So, I'm just looking through these links just the part that about, posted.
Okay.
The part where they go, forget the pigs. It's the rats we have to worry about. And Darren's like, has he got pigs? I just love how, like, he's so oblivious. Yeah, it's awesome.
What did that mean? I don't get that.
What do you mean? It's the part where they're talking about, I don't know, somehow the conversation comes around pigs. I think she says, like, yeah, that'll happen the day pigs fly. And then Darren, like, gets stuck. Darren gets stuck talking about pigs. And she's like, forget the pigs. Sense. It's the rat we have to worry about. And he's like, has he got the pigs?
Okay, so I'm just looking at Swinney's links, and now I get it. Okay. I get it only from the Keith.
Okay, Mike.
Okay, this Mike. Is, okay. I see.
Okay, can you open these links up?
I have. Oh, I'm sorry. I've opened the first one. Yes. Let me just open the other one.
Now, I'm not laughing at the pictures. I'm laughing at Monkey Boy.
I'm laughing at the third one, Separation Joe. I'll post this.
Okay. I've actually got a. This is a game. Okay, let me explain this. This is the Ferrell's Podcast Degrees of Separation game, right?
Okay. Yep.
Now I've actually got a proper version that with all three that actually kind of explains the links, right?
Yep.
So these separate ones are just for you guys to help me put them together. Okay. So for the sake of the listeners who obviously may be driving, maybe not able to actually bring sake this of up. The
listener who's probably driving. Hello again,
yeah,
Lee.
Yeah, go on.
Okay, have you guys got the pink one, number one up?
Yes, I have number one, yep.
Okay, so we have six people or six faces here. So we need to get from Keith to Hillary Clinton.
Okay. Yeah. You know what? I can go straight from Keith to Hillary Clinton, to be honest, in this one.
And, yes.
It's a slightly Photoshop version of Hillary Clinton.
It's a callback to our very first episode of the celebrities with beady eyes, because I said that she looked like Keith. So in between, it goes Keith, Brian Rooney, Dolph Lundgren, Harrison Ford, Kevin Spacey, then Hillary Clinton. Now,
right, so we got to play the game. We got to guess what the connection is.
Now, okay. I'm just going to preface this by saying a lot of these links are going to be easy. So I wasn't going to waste too much time on this. We've talked about a lot of these links already, but I just want to see if you can complete it. And
I've got a shit memory.
I will be surprised if you can actually link it, because some of them are actually a little difficult. So,
okay, so let's go. Keith and Brian Rooney.
So Ferrell's.
Yep. So the Ferrell's.
Correct.
Yep.
Didn't do his voice. The next person. He didn't also do Keith's voice. Who did Keith's voice? I don't remember who did Keith's voice. I know he did. I know he did other people.
That's not the point.
No, but so I wanted
trying
to know-
connect Keith to Hillary Clinton, right?
All right, right, right. So whatever.
What
the
is
Ferrells.
Keith's connection okay. to Brian
With
Rooney?
Brian Rooney. Now, Brian the Rooney Ferrells. Was in the same film as Dolph Lundgren,
the Punisher,
which was the Punisher. Yeah.
Yes, correct.
Yeah. Now,
I can never say his name right. I always want to say Lundgren, not Lundgren. Anyway,
Lundgren, Lundgren. Lundgren.
Now, as we're talking,
He's got a degree in. He's a really switched on guy. He's got an IQ of 140.
I've just added a quick little bonus link while we're talking about Brian Rooney in The Punisher. Okay. This is actually what he looks like in The Punisher, and I was shocked. So we'll put this in the show notes as well.
It looks like Brian Rooney.
No, but he actually he's playing like an adult. Or a young adult character. Like, I thought he'd be a teenager because it was in 1989, so...
But he looks like a teenager in this.
He's playing a cop.
Is that a cop symbol? What?
Yeah, he's playing a policeman.
Okay, that's weird.
I'm guessing he's like a recruit or something, but...
Yeah, probably.
Anyway, so...
Okay, so okay. Connection between Keith and Brian Rooney, obviously the Ferrells...
Yep.
We knew from before that Brian Rooney was in The Punisher with Dolph.
Yep. Yes, when he revealed that to us.
He did.
Yeah.
That was quite interesting. Dolph and Harrison
I would have already lost by this point.
What?
Dolph Lundgren and Harrison Ford. Who?
Yeah. Was Dolph... Wait, what
are we talking
Dolph,
about...
Did Dolph play the... was Dolph C-3PO in Star Wars?
Good try.
No.
Was it Air Force One or whatever that movie was called?
No.
Oh, Jesus.
I'm not going to let you guys go too far. I'll just reveal it.
Okay.
So, Dolph Lundgren, Harrison Ford.
Yes.
Were you going to make a final guess?
Nah, I've got no idea. All right.
Was he like a bad guy in one of the Indiana Jones films or something?
No. It's actually in a very recent film. It's actually in The Expendables 3.
Oh, yeah. But,
should have guessed
okay,
that.
Okay, that's a stretch. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, it's a bit.
It's not a stretch.
I was thinking
classic the movie.
Stuff. I was thinking classic
stuff. It's a stretch. It's a connection.
Oh. It's that's a direct a connection.
Yeah, I know it's a direct connection, but it's like, oh, yeah, okay.
A stretch would be like a guy that's acting as if he's Harrison Ford.
All right. No. Okay.
He's
so
like,
Harrison
oh, I'm Harrison Ford,
Ford. And Kevin Spacey. What's the connection there?
Oh,
this is a tough one.
I know
one.
This movie.
And I...
No, I know this movie.
I wouldn't have known this unless I'd researched this, so...
I know that there's a movie because I was like... I was kind of going on a Kevin Spacey bent.
Oh, I know.
After
I know.
House of Cards.
Did Kevin Spacey go down on an Ewok, which is why he's got that moustache?
By the way, I'm going to say this is the hardest one, so the others will be quicker. So
that's- I like how Mike is using visual gags on audio podcast.
Okay, this is Kevin Spacey with a moustache. I've never seen him with a moustache before. And it looks fake. It seriously looks like he had super glue, he went down on an Ewok, and all the hair kind of just got stuck to his face.
How you say Ewok. Say Ewok again.
Say Ewok one more time. I dare you.
Say you walk one more time.
That's exactly the mustache is exactly why I chose that picture. So anyway, yeah.
Is this a real like early like 80s, early 90s film?
Yes.
Yeah. See, this is why I feel like it was the Usual Suspects era. It wasn't that movie.
No, it was earlier than Usual Suspects. I'm just going to tell you guys. Working Girl.
Okay.
Oh, no, I would have never got that. So. Now, okay, so the last one that you've got here is Kevin Spacey and Hillary Clinton.
This is
Hillary
tough.
Clinton wasn't in a movie, right?
This is tough, and this isn't...
Is this a movie?
This isn't a stretch. No, I'm going to say that it's... The connection doesn't have to be... It just has to be close enough in a media form. Now, this is a direct connection.
You're a cheat.
No.
I'll say like this.
No.
He was wait. House of Cards or something, and then had something.
No, I've got it. She appeared on the same episode as Kevin Spacey appeared on something like The Colbert Show or The David Letterman Show or The Jon Stewart and The Daily Show, something like that.
No. No.
I had it.
Let me explain. That was a good guess.
This is a direct connection, this one. This isn't some me stretching. I'm going to tell you guys what it is.
Kevin Spacey did not sleep with Hillary Clinton. Is that it?
Oh, God.
There was, towards the very end of the
Clintons... Oh, God, is exactly what I'd say. Oh, God. What?
Of the the Clintons' time in office, they put together these tongue-in-cheek kind of, like, short movies.
Tongue-in-cheek.
What the hell was that noise?
What was that? What was that?
It sounded like you squished something.
Mike squirted.
Anyway, it was a...
I did. I was thinking about Bill. Oh, God, Bill. Jaw his.
Okay. All right. We're not going to finish this.
Anyway. Okay.
Right. Connection. Kevin Spacey, Hillary Clinton.
Okay, it was a short series of kind of like these tongue-in-cheek videos called The Final Days that had the Clintons and what they were doing in their final days, and actually had all these Hollywood actors in them, including Kevin Spacey.
Mm. Wow.
So
okay,
That's
no, it's that. Actually, look
no,
it up.
No,
it's actually,
I would have never, ever guessed that.
So anyway, second one.
With the second one, can I run through all of them apart from one connection?
Yep.
On the second one?
Yep.
Robbie?
Before you just say who, it's going from Robbie to Peter Jackson. That's the connection.
Yeah,
exactly. And
so we're
going
to get from
steps,
Robbie to Peter
steps.
Jackson.
Okay.
I get the last step, that's easy. We're going to get like through it, but so Robbie is Kylie, I'm just going to say, Crawford, whose sister is Callie Crawford.
Right.
Yes.
Right?
Yep.
Now, there's Callie Crawford to Miranda Kerr. I'll come back to that. Miranda Kerr was dating Orlando Bloom.
Yes.
Orlando Bloom was Legolas in Lord of the Rings, and also in the Hobbit trilogy as well, who Peter Jackson directed. So we've got all those connections.
Yep.
We're just going to focus in on this Callie Crawford and Miranda Kerr. Now, it's not the fact that they're both in Ralph Magazine,
yeah,
right?
Because they're both Ralph.
Yeah, that's it. Let's move on.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Easy.
I made that one easy. I chose the pictures of both gracing the cover of Ralph Magazine. And,
gracing,
yes.
Indeed.
Yes.
Okay.
I was going to say, was Miranda Kerr in High Five at one point?
No, she was on the Ferals.
Okay.
Imagine that.
Now, this last one, I have no idea.
So, Joe probably dated...
So we've got to set it up.
Okay. Now, the steps, there's five steps here. We need to get from
what
Joe.
What happened to the sixth step? It's 6 degrees of separation.
No,
at most 6 degrees.
At most.
Oh,
okay. Yeah, okay. Fair enough.
Okay. All right.
Fair enough. That's
need
true.
We need to get
me
from
and
Joe.
Mum is only two.
To me. Sweeney.
And by the way, that's exactly what you look like.
By the way, is this like Swinney or a person called Swinney? Like there's someone out there called Swinney.
No, it's me.
Oh, it's you?
This one's easy. We've spoken about this connection.
Okay, so Joe and Elisa, I don't know. Girlfriend?
Okay, let me just explain.
No.
We've got.
Wait. Is this a Jenna moment type thing? Or
what? I didn't get that. Anyway, this is
politically incorrect joke.
Okay. Alyssa McClelland, to be honest, I don't really know much about her, but she's an Australian actress, so that's all it is.
Oh, okay. Right.
Did she appear on The Ferals?
No.
So
okay.
What's the
did she appear?
What, just the...
Did, wait. And they didn't date or marry?
Nope.
What else was Joe on in Australia?
This is really tough, actually.
Can I just bang out some names like Blue Heelers, Country Practice, Water Rats?
No,
McLeod's Daughters.
This is a Hollywood feature film.
Oh, what? Joe was in a feature film?
Yep.
Okay, I'm not going to get this.
Hey,
doesn't
Joe's face in that look like... For some reason, that reminds me of Ripley's face in that scene where the alien's next to her. Because it's like this black thing.
Okay.
Anyway, moving on.
Now, this Hollywood feature film actually filmed certain parts of it quite close to home for you, Monkey Boy.
Ah, Right, but that, no, I only thought of Matrix, but...
No, the Joe was
Great
in...
Great Gatsby?
Joe was in Queen of the Damned, the Anne Rice
really?
Adaptation.
Wow. I remember when they were filming
what
that.
What was
yeah.
it? What character did he play?
He played just some random vampire. So I've got a picture,
random
but
vampire,
I'm not going to link it.
God,
right
we're gonna get this out of the movie. That'd be awesome.
Yeah. So, now Alyssa McClelland was in that movie as well.
Okay.
Now,
yep.
Never would have guessed that in a million years.
Yep. Yeah. Now, the rest of this is actually relatively easy after we get past this step. So, I'm just...
Well, I don't remember what
yeah,
she was
you
in
guys aren't going to get this, because Nicolas Cage has been in so many movies.
I know.
She was in a movie, I actually saw it at cinemas, actually, called Knowing. Knowing.
Okay.
With Nicolas Cage.
Is it spelled like no... No, wait, no. No, that's nothing. Sorry, go on.
No, it's spelled Knowing, like you know something.
K-N-O-W-N-G.
Yeah, that's what it's supposed to be.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now... This step, we have
obviously Nicolas, his stunt double is in
Nicolas
all
Cage
his films.
To a stunt double of Nicolas Cage with a very convincing non Nicolas Cage face. By the way, I'm hoping Mike knows where I got that, but we'll leave that for the after show. So basically, by the way, people now think there's an after show. So
there is an after show, and none of you are invited.
This is referencing Nicolas Cage's stunt double on Ghost Rider,
which you are on the set of.
Exactly links to
back to you.
So I love the fact that there's only 5 degrees of separation between myself and Joe, and the middle degree is Nicolas Cage.
Cool.
I love
that. That is pretty cool, actually.
I love
it. Yeah.
It is even just crazy to think that you're on... Like, if we buy the extended credits on IMDb, and we might do this...
I'm not on the extended credit.
I believe you are, sir.
No.
You are door holder number 23, right? And you'll be on the same credits as Nicolas Cage. Now, that's amazing.
That is amazing. And you that's only paid, like, $1.95 a month for that privilege.
Is that all it is?
I'm
going to get
it.
I'm not on there. If you're expecting me to be on there, you'll be sorely disappointed.
I want my money back.
I'll talk to your union rep. All right, so that was a pretty fun game. We should have picked a bad episode to do that. Okay. So getting back to this episode, I think we should do some ratings.
6.
Is that what you want to give it?
Yep.
Okay, how about you, Swinny?
It's difficult because I didn't get to watch it as in-depth as I normally do. I'm probably going to give it a 5.
Really?
Mm.
Wow, this is like a real weird one. I gave it a 9.
Whoa.
I'm just going to say, before you explain why you gave it a 9, I think it's because I feel that I watched a better episode right before it, which is next week's.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So you reckon... this is awesome.
I reckon next week's is by far better.
Wow, but that's interesting you give it a 5, because I'm just, like, flipping back to other episodes that you've given 5. I mean, it's hard to do this, because obviously, you know, like, the more episodes we watch, the sort of gauge gets dialed in, but I thought this was a really good episode. It's really interesting. I just like the idea of doubling up, you know, it's just a funny idea.
Double D.
All right, cool. So, next week, we will be reviewing... Episode 11, Exam Fever, and then from then on it'll be pretty straightforward.
Hopefully.
So join us next week. All right, bye.
Bye.
Ciao.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.